It is a three-hour program. For now, I'm telling you, do not take the jungle for granted. It is a three-hour program. For now, remember, it used to be a five-hour program. Then it was a four-hour program. Then it was a three-hour program. And it's been a three-hour program. For now, keep that in mind. So we start hour number two, and it's good to have you here. Coming up in about 20 minutes, I've got Peter McGuire. We'll talk some hockey with him. A couple of great, great games last night that I want to reset. Joe Alt of the Chargers coming up at 11:40. And I've got thoughts on Rashee Rice, which I'll get to momentarily. First this, at Woodland Conic on the X platform writes, nepotism? Hypocrisy? Was that PJ in the Mile High or Brian Weber? Put him on the watch list. All right, now, in defense of Brian Weber, he is an extraordinarily well-educated man. He is an extraordinarily well-spoken individual. He might be the only one with a better vocabulary than yours truly. What, is he not supposed to use it? Is he going to dumb it down for you clones? Wooden laconic. Nepotism, hypocrisy. Was that PJ in the Mile High or Brian Weber? Put him on the watch list. One more thing. OPPHNY on X, quote, no music. It's the end of the world as we know it. All right. Amazing song. One of my favorite bands ever. You know this. I still rock R.E.M. almost every day of my life. I love R.E.M. Always have loved R.E.M. Will always love R.E.M. My man Scott Litt produced some of R.E.M.'s best stuff. I love R.E.M. But no, it's not the end of the world as we know it. For two reasons. One, we may still have our tunes. I don't know. Is things changing hourly? Number two, even if we don't have our tunes, it's not the end of the world as we know it. But an amazing song. Rome Slice. Janet Rome is going psychotic. She's bleeping, beating people up, and we need help. Regards Rome, when Janet finds out Logan got expelled because of Jim's Coach Prime take. Geoff and Lincoln. That's actually pretty funny, Geoff. I mean, I know Prime is calling all the shots. I know Prime is king. Could he get my kid kicked out of the school because of my take? And especially if my take is accurate? Coach Prime's like, hey, man, not only will I never do Rome's show, Rome's kid will never do my school. That'd be awesome. Get off my campus. I didn't know Rome's kid went here. Get the hell out of here. Rogue's like, Pop, what did you say? What did you do? DJ will be like, yo, Jimmy. There's still like three people in the world that Jimmy me. She's one of them. Sweetheart, did you get Logan run from Colorado? No, Prime did.
Sweetheart.
Consider that a divorce. Nah, Rogues.
Consider that a divorce.
Rogues is all about the program. Rogues is all about that life. Rogues, no offense, Colorado State. No offense, and you're about to get offended. He ain't leaving Colorado for Colorado State. As PJ suggested. That's not happening. But then again, Rogues is mysterious, yo. That kid, he... Unlike his brother, he's not wearing it on his sleeve. Let's not forget, brother. Rogan Loam went to Columbia before he graduated high school. And I don't mean Tommy's Columbia. I mean Columbia. Medellin, Columbia. Bolivian marching powder, Columbia. That's Rogues. DJ won't appreciate this either, but he's trying to set up another run this summer. He wants to go back. And DJ's like, you know what? Why don't you go someplace different? Why don't you try something new? And all of a sudden, our phone's blowing up. The kid never calls. for anything other than assurances that he's going to be allowed to go back to Medellin. I don't know exactly what that kid did last year when he was in Colombia, although I got a pretty good idea, judging by how badly he wants to go back. One of his best friends is from Colombia. He's a great kid. Great kid. I love the kid. And he made his way out to Cali, and he's one of Logue's boys. And they've got family back there, and they're fine. They're well accounted for. But why do I have just visions of rogues in the jungle of Medellin just getting nice as only rogues can and not telling me about it? I think that finally worked its way into Janet's head. Anyway, in the meantime, DJ and Rogues are going to Eagle River. Good news, bad news for some of you clones. Because of our launch, and because of this is part of Rome's reinvention and a pivot year, I have not scheduled any time for Eagle River. I don't know if I'm going. I may not go. So the good news, bad news. Bad news is you won't get all my great content from Lake Life. Good news is you won't get all my content from Lake Life. And I won't have those couple of neighbors rolling up on me going, yo, man, if it's not too much to ask, and we're not asking, we're telling you, stop posting about Eagle River. All your people will come. Also, and to address that again, no one's coming because of me. Nobody is coming because of me. I'm the only one. Don't worry about that. Shout out to all my friends and neighbors in Eagle River. Nobody is coming because of my fire pit shots and me shooting video from the dock. Nobody is coming. I promise. Nobody's looking at that like, oh, damn. Oh, snap. Lake Life. Eagle River, Wisconsin. Let's go buy some real estate. No. Did you see how lit Rome was with that lit cigar at dusk? Let's go. Let's do this. Damn, look at that coffee mug. Look at Rome looking out over the river. In that boathouse where that famous author, T.S. Eliot, used to get. But no one's coming. Nobody is coming. So stop saying that. No offense. Also, if I don't go, then I don't have to worry about anybody rolling up on me like, damn, Rome, what are you doing with that boathouse? I don't know. Why is it your business? Hey, Rome, are you going to buy a pontoon or not? Oh, my God. Can I just be? Now, I'm not saying it's only like 1%. 99% rolls up on the dock. Yo, dude, what's up? Van Smack. And it's all good. Anyway, I may miss all of that this summer. And if I miss all of that this summer, you're going to miss all of that this summer because none of the rest of the fam posts. That's the update. Let's see here. 1-800-636-8686. What I want to do is talk about Rashee Rice, but I got sidetracked again. Hey, Jim, the unfair treatment of animals is something I can relate to. Signed, Rome's sister's cat. Ryan in Newport Beach. Don't do that. It wasn't my sister's cat. It was the family cat. And it was a mistake. It was an accident. She was a kid. She didn't know any better. Man, we've had some... Given that I'm a, quote, animal lover, we have had some really sad, tragic animal stories in my family. And I love animals. Anyway, that was an accident. That's one that I try not to bring up. Anybody else? So I want to talk about Rashee Rice. I think you know that story by now already, but I need some legs. I need some room to lay this thing out. Like, if you make a mistake, it's one thing. If you make the mistake that he made, it's another. A mistake involving 8 felonies. If you are looking at 8 felony charges, would that not be the ultimate wake-up call? Would that not be a message, not only from the universe, but from law enforcement, from common sense? Man, I nearly pissed it all away. This could be so much worse than it actually is. I'm going to stay down. I'm going to lay low. I'm going to keep my nose clean. I'm going to understand how good I have it. Or I'm going to go in a club and swing on a photog just weeks after it happened. My man, why do you think that photog has got a camera up in your grill? One, you're facing 8 felony charges. Two, you're a famous athlete. This is part of what you sign up for. There's always going to be a photog. And by the way, a professional photog and an amateur photog. Lots of amateur photogs who have phones. Are you going to swing on everybody who tries to take a picture of you? And even then, I wasn't there. Even if that guy went Randy Johnson, get out of my face.
Don't be in my face and don't talk back to me, all right?
Even then, photog is going to go photog. So if you don't want a photog up in your grill, don't go places where there are photogs. Because they'll be waiting for you, especially if you're facing 8 felonies. All right, let's go to the phones. We go to Wisconsin, Brennan. It's good to have you, Brennan. What's going on?
Not much, Rome. How's it going? I just wanted to go back in time a little bit to when the Badgers were looking for a head coach, and Coach Prime was out there. I was thinking, oh, that'd be kind of a cool hire, even though Wisconsin would never make a hire like that, I don't think. And they went with Fickell, which I think McIntosh made a good choice there. And now it's looking like it's a really good choice. I think things are moving in the right direction. And he's getting recruits in there that they normally wouldn't get. And even guys out of the transfer portal that I don't think would normally be interested in Wisconsin. And I guess I could add to the Rashid Rice thing. He might as well just tweet out now, hashtag see you bye to the NFL. All right, have a good day, Rome.
Brennan, you have a good day. Except we don't tweet, we post. On Wisconsin. You know, your point about there were reports that Prime might have been on the short list or there might have been some interest in Prime. Hey, listen, when Wisconsin hired Luke Fickell, I was ecstatic. I thought that was an unbelievable hire. I still think that's a great hire. Great fit, great hire. I like the way he thinks. I think he's forward-thinking. I think that he's going to modernize the offense. I like it. I still like it. And I agree with you. I think you're getting some players in right now that maybe you couldn't have previously. That said, when Colorado hired Deion Sanders, I thought that was an amazing hire. And then he proved that it was an amazing hire and did so much better, so much faster, and generated so much more interest and so much more revenue than I don't think anybody else could have done. Like, he was right on track until that train derailed. And they lost 8 out of 9 and more than half their roster. And I don't know. I mean, to sit back here and just say, yeah, he's run off half that roster, but they've improved, they're getting better. Man, I better see that on the field. I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He just lost another key player. And again, not some player who's, quote, very mid. Not some player that, I don't even remember that guy. He must not have been very good. No, a guy that he poached from Florida State, his alma mater. A guy that he needed. And the guy went right back to Florida State. So what's going on here? Clearly, a lot of these guys at Colorado, and I'm not there, but I'm seeing enough players leaving and hitting the portal and are not happy and are disgruntled. Clearly, a number of them think this is not what I signed up for, or this was not what I thought it was going to be. And granted, this is not the only program that has players hitting the portal, except we were led to believe that this is where everybody wanted to be. If that's where everybody wanted to be, then why are so many people leaving? Wait, I know. Because that's not where everybody wants to be, apparently. And again, I'm not here to hate. I'm invested in the program, in a way. I'm sending my son to that college, and I'm paying out-of-state fees. It ain't cheap. And don't get me started with the early beef about out-of-state fees, man. Why is it that none of our kids in Cali can get into any of the Cali schools? But everybody will take our kids out-of-state. What is that? Oh, I know, money. That's right. Anyway, the beef segment will be tomorrow. Heads up on the beef segment, probably in the second hour, not the third hour. Yeah, I know. That'll happen. Hopefully not very, very often, but that'll happen. I know that you're geared up and reared up for it to be in hour number 3, probably in hour number 2. So
happens to us all.
get started early. When we come back, I'm going to talk some hockey. Pierre McGuire joins us. Is your vehicle no longer stopping like it used to? Restore your braking performance and save on a complete brake job right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. When you buy Brake Best Select, Brake Best Select Pro, or Import Direct Brake Pads and Rotors, get unrivaled performance and ultra-quiet stops with Brake Best and Import Direct. The professional parts people will help find you the right brake parts and supplies that you need to do the job right the first time. Stop by your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I'm going to talk hockey momentarily. And by momentarily, I mean right this second. We are joined right now by an NHL analyst. He has worked for NBC Sports, TSN, Sportsnet. Also served as the senior VP for player development for the Ottawa Senators in 2021 and 2022. Former head coach of the Hartford Whalers. He is a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee. He is host of the iTest podcast. He is Pierre McGuire. Pierre, it is great to talk to you, my friend. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, Jim. It's always great to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you back, Pierre. So what an incredible night of pucks. The Rangers and Hurricanes played an instant classic in game one of their series, with New York taking that in double OT, despite Pierre being outshot by Carolina 57-39. Let me start right there. What were your biggest takeaways from that incredible game at the Garden last night?
They're playing for keeps physically. That's as physical as I've seen the New York Rangers play in a long, long period of time. Carolina's not a shrinking violet either. They deserve a lot of credit. They were not very mature or good in game number one, talking about Carolina, but I thought they played a very good game last night. The problem for them, Jim, it's pretty straightforward. Their power play hasn't been able to connect. They're 0 for 10 in the series, and the Rangers are 4 for 9. So two goals in game two for the Rangers on the power play, two goals in game one for the Rangers on the power play, and that's really been the swing part of this series. And the third part of it, Jim, quite honestly, is Igor Shesterkin, the goalie for the Rangers, has been off the charts good. Not a little bit good, Jim. You talked about the shot disparity. He's a big reason why the series is 2-0 right now. He's been fantastic.
Obviously, I meant game two, 2-0. Pierre McGuire joining us. You know, Pierre, in terms of the physical play, let me ask you this. Did you have any issue with the cross-checking penalty that was called in the second OT against the Hurricanes, which gave the Rangers that man advantage, which led to the game-winning goal?
I do a little bit. That's Brady Shea, who's locked up in a man-to-man situation. And, you know, Vinny Trocheck is a guy that gets pushed over, and it's more of a push than it is a cross-check. It's not to the back. It's to the lower part of the back, even the upper hip. But that it's easy for me to sit at home and watch it on a TV screen and, you know, in real time and then in slow motion and decipher that. It's a lot harder for the official. But I would say this, Carolina had other opportunities with a man advantage in overtime, and they weren't able to capitalize. So the Rangers get one, and they do capitalize, and that's why I talked about the special teams. But quite frankly, I didn't think it was a penalty, but I also know it's a lot easier for me to sit here and say that rather than be the guy in the ice making the call.
I can appreciate that. Pierre McGuire joining us. You know, Pierre, when I spoke to Eddie Olczyk on Friday, he said that the Canes and Rangers were so evenly matched, it might be more fitting if these teams were to play a best-of-nine-game series, if that was possible. How do you see the rest of that semifinal playing out? And then as a follow, how much bad blood do you see between these two?
I'll take the second part. First, I think the bad blood's going to continue. I think it's going to be real nasty. The biggest thing for Carolina is to make sure they don't take more than three penalties per game. You know, if they're taking five and six penalties per game, the Ranger power play is going to eat them up, and they'll lose the series quickly. In terms of, you know, how close the series is going to be, Carolina's really good at home, Jim. They're not great on the road. They're a real good home team. Those fans are energized down there in Raleigh. They really are. It's an amazing place to broadcast a game, to play a game, or to coach a game, but to attend a game there is awesome. So I think that, you know, this series got a long way to go. I think there's a lot of miles to cover still on this series, and I think a big reason why Carolina's going home. And I've always said this to you, Jim, over the 12 or 13 years we've been talking, about playoff hockey. You're never in trouble in a playoff series till you lose on home ice. Carolina hasn't lost yet in Raleigh.
Pierre McGuire joining us. All right, Pierre, so what about the defending Stanley Cup champion Golden Knights got knocked out in seven. So the Stars take care of that. They jump on the Avalanche last night 3-0, only to see the Lanch come storming back and rip that game in OT as well. How much grit did Colorado show you, and what impressed you the most in the way they pulled that off last night against the team with the best record in the West?
They are so full of grit talking about Colorado. And one of the things that their management team did, obviously led by Joe Sakic, the Hall of Fame player, was at the trade deadline, they made some really shrewd acquisitions. Casey Mittelstadt coming over from Buffalo, Brandon Duhaime coming over from Minnesota, Yakov Trenin coming over from Nashville. They added key physical components and skill components at the deadline. Not the biggest names that everybody expected, but a lot of physical and nasty guys and skilled guys. And in the offseason, bringing in Miles Wood, who scored the overtime winner last night as an unrestricted free agent from New Jersey. I mean, they've done a lot as a management team that's really creative, and it's led to this resilience and grit you see from Colorado. To me, the biggest thing in that series is going to be, how much does Dallas have left in the tank, Jim, from what was an unbelievable first-round series with Vegas? That thing had it all. It had pace, it had physicality, it had tempo, it had good goaltending, it had bad goaltending, it had goaltending switches. It had everything. I just don't know how much mental reserve Dallas has left in the tank.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. You beat me to it. There's nothing like postseason hockey. Pierre McGuire joining us. He's the host of the iTest podcast also. So, Pierre, two more games tonight. The Bruins are going to be going after their second straight win. And do you think that they put the scare that they got from Toronto behind them when they had to go the full seven and they blew that 3-1 series lead? Or frankly, do you need to see more from them before you can fully trust the Bees in this spot?
I trust the Bees for a few reasons. Number one, Jeremy Swayman in goal. Number two, Jimmy Montgomery behind the bench. Number three, and this is really important, they are not afraid to shorten their bench, and they're not afraid to elongate their bench. And that comes down to really smart coaching tactics from the Bruins with Chris Kelly and Joe Sacco helping out Jimmy Montgomery. I really trust the Bruins a lot. They're a hard-edged, physical team. They're not shy. They can play the four-line game. I expect Charlie McAvoy, one of their top defensemen, to really step up in this series. I thought he was okay in the first round against Toronto. I think he'll be better in this series. Brandon Carlo's had a great playoff so far. Hampus Lindholm had a great game seven. So for the Bruins, I think they can hang in there with Florida. But here's one thing I would say, Jim. Florida will be a lot better in game two tonight than they were in game one. I just thought that in game one, outside of a little flurry to start the game and a little flurry at the start of the third period, I thought Florida was very pedestrian in game one, and I think they'll be a lot better in game two.
I think you're right. I'm banking on that. I'm definitely banking on them being better in game two. Pierre McGuire joining us. So, Pierre, what about the Oilers and Canucks? They begin their Western semifinal tonight. I spoke, Pierre, to Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch last week, and he was hired in mid-November. Obviously, it helped that he coached Connor McDavid as a junior. They already had a pre-existing relationship. But what else do you think has led to Edmonton's major turnaround in season?
One of the first moves Knobloch made was hire Paul Coffey to work with their defense. So if you look at it, Jim, and I had the privilege of coaching Paul in Pittsburgh, and I'm a big fan of him as a person and also as obviously a hockey player, one of the best all-time players at his position on defense. Paul has made Evan Bouchard a better player. He's made Cody Ceci a better player. He's made Darnell Nurse a better player. He's made Vinny Desharnais a better player. He's done such a good job making their defense better. Everybody used to say they've got enough firepower in Edmonton, Jim, but do they have enough on defense? People aren't saying that anymore, Jim. And I think a big reason why is what Paul's done there. So, yeah, Knobloch did a lot of really good things with their forwards and instituting, I think, some really strong organizational culture. But I think Paul Coffey's done a magnificent job with their defensemen because nobody says that anymore about Edmonton. Boy, they're porous on defense. Nobody says that.
No, and what an amazing player Paul Coffey was. Pierre McGuire joining us. So, Pierre, jumping around a little bit before I let you go, the three finalists for the regular season MVP award were announced, and no surprise. Based, though, on what you saw this year from Connor McDavid and AV center Nathan MacKinnon and Lightning winger Nikita Kucherov, who do you think ends up with the Hart Trophy?
Well, there's going to be a lot of Eastern Conference sentiment for Kucherov because he had over 100 assists and he was just phenomenal on a Tampa Bay team that was up and down. And I think a lot of people have a lot of soft spot in their heart for McDavid, obviously, because over 100 assists, again, you know, that's not something that happens very often in the NHL. But if you were to ask me, and I did not have a vote on it this year, I would say that Nathan MacKinnon was the most valuable player in the National Hockey League. If you watch, and you talked about it before so appropriately, Jim, when you talk about the grit and the resiliency of the Colorado Avalanche, it comes from one guy, and it just flows from him, and it's Nathan MacKinnon. If you take Nathan MacKinnon off the Colorado Avalanche, they're not even a home ice team in the playoffs. That's how good that guy is. I just think he's a spectacular player. He's an awesome leader. He's really intense, and I thought he was the MVP of the league this year.
That is really, really high praise. What about the fact, Pierre, that San Jose, I'm moving around again, they've got the number one overall pick by virtue of them winning the lottery last night. Can we assume that Boston University center Macklin Celebrini is going to be their guy? And if so, what do you like best about the 17-year-old Phenom's game?
I live in Boston, Jim, so I want to be totally transparent. I've had a chance to watch Macklin Celebrini play a lot of games at BU, internationally for Canada at the World Junior, and watch him practice. And he's a spectacular talent. Back in October on our show, The Eye Test, I talked about how he reminds me so much of Jonathan Toews, who I saw play at Shattuck St. Mary's at University of North Dakota at two World Juniors. There's a lot of similarities between the two. Obviously, Toews is a three-time Stanley Cup winner and a two-time Olympic gold medalist. I mean, a spectacular talent, a surefire Hall of Famer once he, you know, is out of the league for long enough, talking about Toews. Celebrini's the same, Jim, except for one other thing. He scores, I think he scores more purely than Jonathan did in terms of shooting the puck and being a power play presence. So he's a special talent. If he doesn't go to San Jose, there should be an investigation and everybody should be replaced there. That's how good he is, Jim.
Hey, Pierre, what's it like when you're a young guy and ultimately when he gets there? When he gets there and when he walks into that room and there's all eyes on him and all expectations and he's in a room with some grown, you know, frankly, grown-ass men. What's it like for a young guy like that? What do you think that's going to be like when he walks in that room the first time?
I was in Pittsburgh in 1990 when Jaromir Jagr was drafted. I was part of the group that drafted and was obviously our great general manager, Craig Patrick, that pulled the button and it was Scotty Bowman that really endorsed the pick. But I remember when Jaromir walked in as an 18-year-old for the first time. And one of the most important things when you have a player like that is to have mature people around him who can help guide him. And in Pittsburgh in those days, you had a guy like Mario Lemieux. You had a guy that was brand new there but was a leader in Brian Trotsky. You had a tremendous defenseman in Paul Coffey. And you had a Hall of Fame goaltender in Tommy Barrasso, but you had the late Badger Bob Johnson, and you had Scotty Bowman, and you had Craig Patrick. You had three super mature, proven winning people that could help cultivate the young player to learn what it was to be in the NHL. And so one of the most important things for San Jose when they take Celebrini is to make sure there's some older people around that can really help him navigate the NHL lifestyle and the NHL burden. And it's not an easy league to be in as an 18-year-old. It's really hard to be an 18-year-old in the league.
Well said. So, Pierre, leave me with this thought. I mentioned the Eye Test podcast. You know, there's so many different platforms and forums and podcasts. I'm really curious, what do you try and do with yours? Who are the types of people you talk to on that podcast, and what's your goal with the podcast?
Number one is to be really polite and positive about the league. Number two, it's about treating people with respect. Number three, and it's really important, we try to get on guests that have been winners in the league, guys that have been around winning. Sometimes it's broadcasters. Sometimes it's coaches. Sometimes it's trainers. Sometimes it's players. Sometimes it's some of my old players that are in the Hall of Fame. We bring on different people, but I think the most important thing is to have discussion about the greatness of the game, and we try to break down all the games. It's a five-day-a-week podcast, and I've had a ton of fun doing it, Jim, I got to tell you. And to have something, whether it's Scotty Bowman coming on, or a great broadcaster like Doc Emmerich, who was my partner for 16 years at NBC, or Chuck Caton, who's a Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster from Hartford and Carolina. You know, so many different people have come on. We had Eric Lacroix on yesterday, the son of Pierre Lacroix, who played in the NHL. Pierre Lacroix just got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame last year. So we try to do that, Jim. It's been a ton of fun for me. And I just hope we can keep growing it because it seems to be growing all the time.
Well, the good thing is you're getting after it, Pierre. One last thought, and I've kept you a long time, but I'm having so much fun with the conversation. I'm so glad you mentioned Scotty Bowman. To me, it's almost surreal, but Scotty, incredibly enough, Pierre, he and hockey's different, and you know I love the sport, and we've been able to have access to players because, you know, frankly, NHLers are just different. They come up differently. Some of the best guys ever in any sport have played in that league, but Scotty used to come on the show, and I remember years and years and years ago, I did an appearance as part of what we called the Jungle Tour Stop, where I went to Buffalo, and it was amazing. Like, of course, there were Buffalo Bills in attendance, but Scotty Bowman showed up. Scotty freaking Bowman showed up for a Jungle Tour Stop, which still to this day blows my mind. For those who don't know, tell me something about Scotty Bowman that fans, or even those who don't know the sport that well, don't know about that legend.
He is the best friend you could ever have. We were roommates. We won together. I think the biggest thing with Scotty is if he's your friend, he's your friend for life. And he's an amazing father. He's been an amazing husband. He's a true family guy. And he loved being on your show, by the way, Jim. He told me all about that show in Buffalo. He's 90 years of age right now.
Wow.
He splits his time between Florida, it's on the West Coast, not far from Tampa, and Buffalo, New York in the summer. And what I would tell you is that he could still coach. Jim, I am not kidding you. He could still coach in the NHL. We talk almost every day. He knows more about most teams and most of the general managers in the league. The passion still burns brightly in him. He's just a phenomenal icon of the game. He truly is. And if you were to ask me, Jim, and I'm a fan of all the sports, growing up as a New York Giants football fan, growing up as a Montreal Expos baseball fan, growing up as a New York Knicks basketball fan because of Willis Reed, and I know it's a big anniversary for Willis Reed. What I would tell you is, of all the coaches, the great coaches that ever coached, and I wrote my baccalaureate thesis on Vince Lombardi, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Scotty Bowman's probably the best coach that ever lived in all of pro sports.
That's incredible. I don't know what's more amazing. The fact, actually, I don't find it amazing. Immensely, I bet he could still coach at 90, but I am amazed that he remembered the appearance in Buffalo and that you and he talked about it. Pierre, I lied. So you mentioned the Expos. Leave us with this thought. Who was your all-time favorite Montreal Expo?
You want me to? I hope you're not going to get mad at me. Rusty Staub.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Le Grand Orange. He was phenomenal, Jim. Awesome off-the-charts player. Really good. It broke my heart when he got traded to the New York Mets. I'll never forget the day. I forget if I was in sixth or seventh grade when he got traded to the Mets. Mike Jurgensen was in that deal. I remember Tim Foley was in that deal. And Ken Singleton was in that deal. Those were the three guys who were in it from the Mets to the Expos, but I remember when Rusty got traded, it broke my heart.
You know what I love, Pierre? I love that, like, you're somebody who's spent your life in the game, in the sport professionally, that you can think back to when you were a kid and what it felt like, because I think the same thing. I've spent the last decades as a member of the media and doing this show, but I can remember how heartbroken I was when my guy Ron Say left the Dodgers to go to the Chicago Cubs. And like, when you're in it, all of a sudden we need to be objective, so you can't really have that. It's great to remember what it's like to be a kid and be a fan, right?
Oh my gosh, when you say Ron Say, the first thing I think of is the Penguin walking up to the plate.
Great times. Great times.
Oh, my gosh. Phenomenal times. Jim, that just blew me away. He made my day.
That's my guy, man, the Penguin. And you know what's even better, Pierre? The Penguin's since come on this show, and it's also surreal, right? Like, when you meet your idols, when you meet your heroes, it doesn't always go well. Luckily, that one went well. So I'm glad that hit you the same way. Pierre, I am so glad that you and I got caught up. We talked puck. We talked about things other than that. Man, you are the best. It's great to have you back, Pierre. Stay healthy, be good, and I know we'll do it again.
I can't wait, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. And you have no idea how much your passion for hockey matters to the players, the coaches, and all the fans. Thanks, Jim.
Means the world to me, Pierre. Thank you so much. Be good. Pierre McGuire. That's why I love Pierre McGuire. So he said, we've been talking hockey for 12 to 13 years. That's incredible to me that I just threw that out about Scotty Bowman, because I've always been just blown away. Number one, that Scotty Bowman, you have to understand, Scotty Bowman, I want to be careful how I say this. Almost like the Hood, in the sense that he's the GOAT, and you would think not as media-friendly. Like, the Hood doesn't want to do any of this, and all of a sudden now, Bill Belichick is really media-friendly because he's being paid a lot of money to do it, and he's doing a good job. Scotty Bowman, though, was like that guy, like the greatest ever, but he would come on the show. You could have access to him. Scotty Bowman would say yes, and I was always blown away by that, and he always knew where he was, and he always did a really nice interview, so we thought, we'll take a shot. We're going to Buffalo. Maybe Scotty will come to our tour stop, and he said yes, and here I am hanging out with Scotty freaking Bowman and Daryl Talley and a few of the others. So I want to go back, and I'm going to replay this in 1 second. But what's more amazing to me is that Pierre knew about it, and they had talked about it, and Scotty said, yeah, I had a great time. This is me putting the question to Scotty Bowman. Alvy found it right there in 2001 when I said, Scotty, will you attend this tour stop?
I wonder, because you spend so much time in Buffalo, and we do have an appearance coming up at the end of July. It's a so-called tour stop. I wonder if there's any way at all, if you're in town, we can get you out there to come to the tour stop.
I'm all set. We're going to go to Dunn Park on July 28th, and I was at an outing yesterday. Jimmy, you're big everywhere, but in Buffalo, of course, Dunn Park will be more than full, and you better bring your best pitching wedge with you.
And he was right. He nailed it. That's when I rolled out in the white Bronco. I rolled out there in a white Bronco, and everybody went crazy, and Scotty was there. Scotty Bowman ran really heavy, but Pierre's right. I love hockey. Love to talk hockey.
I love when you talk hockey.
And that's a lot of hockey talk right there. All right, your reaction to it when we come back. Relief Factor, big new partner on the program. And it's a product that I use, it's a product that works for me, and it's a product that is a natural way to help fight pain. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. 100% drug-free, Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. So we could be talking about neck pain or back pain, joint or muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short period. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. As an example, in 3 weeks or less, you will know if it's working because you'll feel the difference. All day, every day. I speak from experience. My friends there sent it to me, said, why don't you give it a try? Over 1 million people have, so I did. And I keep using it, and it does work. I feel better. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor, myself included. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order, 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Ran really heavy. Better late than never. Here's...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Clone, Sandal Beef Jerky is the same. You know this by now. Why? I talk about it all the time. Old Trappers, original Old Fashioned, teriyaki, hot and spicy, and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Very happy to see Pierre McGuire getting the love that he deserved coming off that appearance. He always shows up like that. But to Bella's point, and of course Bella is the first one through, Bella writes, best appearance by Pierre McGuire to date, talking about the legend Scotty Bowman will never get old. Bella has probably heard every single one of Pierre McGuire's appearances. And Pierre himself said, Jim, I've been talking to you for 12 or 13 years. Bella, I bet, has heard all of them. So if she says that's the best one, then it probably was. And Van Gobel on X writes, I'm absolutely in lockstep with Bella. I love when you talk hockey.
I love when you talk hockey.
Scotty Bowman came to the Wings and made them champions by first installing a two-way in-playing hockey offense and defense. Changed Stevie Eiserman forever. Yzerman scored 65 goals, too. Hashtag Bella Hockey.
I love when you talk hockey.
Stevie Yzerman was one of the all-time great leaders in any sport. Yes, I said it. Stevie Y, one of the all-time great leaders in any sport. At Craig the Randall writes, I love it when Utah. The Stanley Cup champion, Per Maguire, great hockey mind, a hockey file through and through. Wore this, making the show better. That did make the show better. You know, I think I would even go as far as to say there are a lot of guys and gals that I talk to that love their sport, that played their sport, that were executives in their sport, that are analysts in their sport. I don't know that you could find anybody who works within a sport that loves their sport as much as Pierre Maguire does. Loves it. Tremendous passion for it. That's why he shows up like this. Even if I talk to him once or twice a year, he always shows up like this. At Clausen 73 writes, RP Maguire is so amazing. I love what he said about making his podcast positive. After all the hate he got over the years, he is showing all the haters how to rise above the acrimony. I always loved him. Such a smart hockey guy and a great man. What a great point that is. It's a great take. Pierre got a lot of hate. And he was always welcome on this show because he always showed up like that. Positive, energetic, and passionate. And I love that that's his point about his podcast. Keep it positive.